Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
We have a 911. Our robbery in progress. See surplus store corner People's Drive, North 24th Street.
Hi, and welcome to Cop Shop. I'm Nicole Brown, Public Information Officer for Farmington Police Department, and with me is the one, the only, Chief Heaven.
Well, thank you. I wonder where you got that from. Welcome to another episode of The Cop Shop, and you're seeing me already in a much more professional demeanor as I sit back in my chair. I'm learning from my PIO. Nicole is schooling me on how to look good on TV. I have, I think, a demeanor that's made for radio. So.
Well, we're hitting both.
So. We are hitting both, so I'm changing my ways.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, busy couple of weeks again.
Yeah. It's not going to slow down anytime soon. I think 2020 has it in for all of us, and we're just going to have to hang in and make it to the end.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the end of 2020. whenever that comes, I think that I'll have a bigger party this year than most
years. Yeah,
I've
seen some like funny videos and stuff where they're like, people are celebrating the end of 2020, and everyone's so happy, and then it's all of a sudden like entering level 2.
Yes.
I was like, oh no.
I think everybody's New Year's resolutions, I mean, the whole thing collapsed pretty early on in the course of this year. Now we're just kind of hunkering down, I guess, to get through it. But today's kind of a big day, and you've got something out on Facebook about today.
Yes, it is National Navajo Code Talkers Day. So it's the day that we remember all the Navajo Code Talkers that served in World War II. And it's such a great thing for this area, I think, to have that close, that history and that culture close to us and to learn from it. And then to have that be such an integral part of the success of the United States in World War II and to actually still have living code talkers, in our area is amazing. They're heroes.
And so for those of you that don't know, what all that is and the significance of it is, both sides in a war try to listen, break the code of the other side, figure out what the other side's saying, figure out their plans, figure out where they're moving their troops, figure out what just happened in a battle or what's about to happen in a battle. And so, we actually did have significant success breaking the German codes and at times breaking the Japanese codes as well. The Japanese never were able to break our codes through the Navajo Code Talkers. They never broke it in the 4 years that we were at war. All of our secrets remained secret where we were able to penetrate and find out what the enemy was doing. Information, saves lives. So, there are Americans alive today and their descendants because of the actions of these Code Talkers.
Yeah, and when I was researching it a little bit, trying to kind of figure out what I wanted to say, which I couldn't put it all in one post, so I was like, I'm just going to keep it simple. But as I was researching, it was interesting, the kind of beginnings of Code Talkers started in World War I, and one of the commanders that said, hey, we need to use Navajo language as our code, grew up on the Navajo Nation, and so he knew, he was familiar with the language, and so they, as the military often does, they did a ton of research and realized that the Navajo language was going to be the hardest to break, and it was going to be the hardest for people to get a beat on if they were going to try and break that code. So I thought that was pretty interesting that their language is that amazing.
So here's a little trivia quiz for you. What years did the U.S. fight in World War II?
The 40s?
The 40s? Sadly, folks, that's not even her age.
You know what?
The 40s. This is actually pretty good.
I'm not a numbers person. My better half is a numbers person, so he could probably tell you the exact dates. But
So what you want is, in the middle of our cop shop, you want to phone a friend.
I do. I do want to phone a friend.
Yeah, well, you're not winning $100,000, and you don't get that.
Dang it.
But actually, you are correct. It was December 7th, 1941 is when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and it lasted until August of 1945. So actually an amazing answer for somebody who isn't even in their 40s to say in the 40s was a great answer.
I knew 45 was significant, and then I knew December 7th. So hey, I was partly there.
You were there. Those were great answers. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is all live stuff here. You know, this is completely sprung on her, and she just you just watched movie magic off the cuff. That's why she's a PIO. She's the one and only.
That's right.
But we have also got other things going on
across
the country that relate more to police. And so today, you know, I wanted to talk about some of those things. I think we will be talking about them throughout the fall as we get ready for a legislative session this next spring. That police reform, whatever that looks like, will definitely be a topic. But we had a fairly significant event occur this week in the world of policing, as significant as one person having a job or not having a job could be, and that was the resignation of Carmen Best, the Seattle police chief. Seattle is a very large city in the United States. Seattle is a city that's been under a consent decree from the federal government for maybe 10 years now. Might have been 2010, 2011. I forget exactly when they went in. I was still in Anchorage. We were watching what was going on in Seattle so we could figure out what we could do better so we could learn from them. Carmen rose up through the ranks at Seattle PD. So you've got a city that's a large city in America, a large police force, under a significant amount of scrutiny over the last decade. And now with all the police reform that we've seen sweeping the country here this summer, It ends in a resignation, and you did a little research on it for this show. And what were some of the things that you found when you were looking at it?
So, I mean, there's been kind of that agenda of defund the police nationwide. And Seattle, of course, was one of the biggest ones where they were saying that they needed to cut the budget of the police department and put those funds elsewhere. Into other, you know, structures in the city. So they give a really deep cut. The city council voted for a really deep cut into the police department budget, and then they decided where those cuts came from, which I think is a little bit unique because usually they'll tell a department head, typically in a city structure, hey, we need your budget to be here. We need these kind of cuts. And they let you decide where you're going to cut that money from, but they didn't. They cut Chief Best's salary as well as her command staff salary. And then I think it looked like she was going to have to lay off over 100 officers. And they wanted those layoffs to happen in reverse.
Seniority.
Yes, reverse seniority. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. So that meant that the newest officers were going to get laid off. And she really had a lot of objections to that when she spoke and talked, you know, about how those were going to be, her newest officers are her most diverse group racially in her department. And she felt like that was doing those newer officers a lot of disservice. And so some of the city councilors kind of encouraged her to petition that she could then do it by, you know, disciplinary actions and start laying people off that have a history of having problems within the department, you know, following policies and procedures. And she said, well, that'll take years because we have a union. That's, you know, we're going to have to battle the union out, and they're going to appeal and fight every one of those layoffs. And so I think ultimately she just decided that she couldn't bring herself to lay off those young officers. And so she retired and resigned. And she felt like something that was expressed in that article, it was the Seattle Times, and it was a really great in-depth article. They talked to several city councilors, they talked to her, to the mayor, and something that she said was that I just lost my train of thought.
Well, that train can skip off the tracks at any moment,
it
folks.
It just completely
that's
left.
Live radio slash
Facebook.
Oh, my Facebook.
Goodness.
So, you know,
we have the video.
Yeah,
we have,
let's show
we
the
have a video.
Scott.
So that's
thanks
what she was trying to work through.
Out.
So Scott's here with the video.
Just a day after Seattle City Council approved a reduction in the budget of the city's police department, Seattle Police Chief Carmen Bess, the city's first black police head, publicly announced her resignation Tuesday, effective September 2nd.
For me personally, this was a decision I wrestled with, but it was time. I will always be a police officer. It's who I am. But ultimately, as I learned from a former boss, when you know it's time to go, you know it's time to go.
This comes on the heels of the city's police department in June, struggling on what to do about a protest zone set up near downtown Seattle that became the scene of several shootings and a war of words between city leaders and President Donald Trump. By a vote of 7-1 Monday, the city council approved a revised 2020 budget that reduced the police department's budget by $3.5 million, less than 1% of the department's $409 million, though deeper cuts may be on the horizon. The cuts also fall well short of the 50% demanded by protesters following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The rebalanced budget reduces executive pay and eliminates 100 police officers. Defunding advocates oppose the militarization of U.S. police forces and say officers are called on to deal with issues like addiction, mental illness, and homelessness that could be better addressed by social services. Law enforcement supporters say cuts to police spending will lead to more crime. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin.
There is not a quick fix. There is no one-size-fits-all solutions. This is just hard, painful work based on a willingness to see and to trust in our common humanity. The cause is urgent, the pain is deep, and the need for ferocity is real.
Just the basics of what they were looking at and what was going on in Seattle. And I remembered what my train of thought was while we were watching the video. Something that Chief Bess said as she was giving her speech was that she felt like her relationship with the city council had soured because she had fought them over these cuts and the things that they were doing. And so she felt like maybe if she stepped away and the deputy chief that's going to be the interim chief kind of stepped into those debates with the city council, that maybe he could get more done because it had just kind of, it was too sour between her and the city council at this point. And really, it's terrible to see her go, and she is kind of a model for women in policing. But to have that foresight to know that, like, I'm not doing any good anymore, and maybe I just need to step away and someone else can get something else done.
Yeah. You know, that's she lasted 2 years. So I think the time of her announcement is shy of the two-year mark. She didn't even make it 2 years, mm-hmm. which is part of the issue that we're going to talk a little bit about today. And we're going to keep talking about in the coming months because we're talking police reform. And you hear people say those words, and they're just watch catchphrases that we're just throwing out there, and there isn't a common understanding of what does that mean. So what is the goal of police reform, you know? And then secondly, how do we propose to implement that? And I can tell you one thing that kills any organization, and that's a rotating leadership position. So, you know, you look at any professional sports team, if they get a new coach every year, I mean, that was Cleveland Browns for Cleveland Brown fans out there. They fire the coach every year to 2 years. There's no consistency of message. They bring in a new agenda every time. They start this way. The quarterback that they drafted in the first round is on his third new system because the coach has been fired repeatedly. It's absolutely grounds for failure. That's a failing organization. And yet that's what we see in policing right now. So I did a little research, and this is very brief, and it only hits bigger cities, but just in the last 6 months or so, Here's some of the police chief openings from around the country. Louisville police chief either resigned or was fired. Las Cruces here in New Mexico. Seattle police chief. Atlanta police chief. Richmond, Virginia police chief. In fact, Richmond lost their police chief, appointed an interim. He lasted 11 days, and he resigned.
Oh, my gosh.
And they appointed a new interim. Madison police chief in Madison, Wisconsin. Last December, he got out. They've been operating with an interim ever since. Los Angeles Schools Police Chief, he resigned earlier this year when they did the same thing as in Carmen's situation where they defunded some of his budget. Alameda, California, and Arundel County, Maryland Police Chief resigned. Milwaukee Police Chief was just demoted while I was back in Wisconsin here for... He'd had sour relations with this. It was a police and fire commission that controlled the mayor there. He had used tear gas, or he'd ordered the use of tear gas in some of the protests. They didn't like that, and so they demoted him. Milwaukee is preparing for the Democratic National Convention here in a few weeks, and they're vowing they won't use. They won't use tear gas in putting down any of the protests, which has promptly got 100 police agencies that apparently were signed on to help provide security there to pull their officers out of it. So Milwaukee's kind of on their own. And when you sit back and you try and figure out, okay, where are we going? What is the goal that we're trying to get to with police reform?
Yeah.
And then we just lived through this special session where we slopped some bills together. There was no involvement of police chiefs or police leaders in any of these bills. We're getting ready for the spring session where there's a whole slew of new ones that are coming. And again, if we're not involving police leaders, what is the vision for how this is going to be implemented? And what do we think it's really going to change?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that's just mystifying to me is if you're trying to do something that affects my profession and you expect me to implement it with my officers and my employees, how do you expect that's going to occur, much less in every police department across the country? If we have no say in it, we don't even know what the goals are, we don't understand what's being proposed until it's passed, and then it's usually messed up because you never involved us in it.
Yeah, and something that an argument to that is that they would give is that, well, if your system's broken, you're too close to it to see the forest for the trees.
Right.
But I really feel that if you, policing in general, we understand that things have to change, that the communities that we serve want us to change. And every police officer I know are helpers and they want to serve their community. So if the community is crying for change, then they're up for it. But it has to be things that they can feasibly do and things that are actually going to make an impact. And the people that know the things that are going to make an impact are the people that work the job every day. And so not having them at the table when, you know, these bills and things like that get passed is harmful to the end goal. Like you say, what is the goal? Well, the goal is to meet the needs of our community.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to let us be at the table so that we can help meet those needs.
So of course I'm suspicious that is not the goal of everybody in this. And so when I ask the question, I'm asking it kind of tongue in cheek, what's the goal of police reform? For some, it actually is, we should do things better. We should interact better with our citizens. We shouldn't have any George Floyd cases. We should be training our officers to do a better job. Those are all things I'm responsible for. And at the end of the day, I should be responsible for. But if the goal is really to have lawlessness like we're seeing in some parts of our country, you know, A, I'm not on board with it, and B, it'll never succeed with the current police structure that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another, I told Nicole to do some research on the Chicago police rioting that started this weekend. And that starts over the police wind up in a foot chase with a 21-year-old black male who's armed, who fires at them. They shoot back. They wound him. He's not killed in the incident. And from that, there becomes this mass reaction that leads down to, I think it's the Magnificent Mile in Chicago of all these luxury stores. They kick in the stores. In one case, they used a car to smash in past a security fence. In the course of it, other people were showing up from around the city with van loads of people that they were letting go, and then they'd go in and loot. I mean, if this is our idea of police reform, that the police will never shoot back and never defend themselves, and that anything goes, you can tear terrorize anything. And there, Black Lives Matter spokesperson for Black Lives Matter in Chicago was justifying the looting, saying that this is basically reparations, was their quote. Which is just, if that's where we're going with police reform, then we need a radically different model, because I'm not on board with it. That is not what's going to happen with our officers. Our officers are going to fire back if we're shot at. And there has to be, among reasonable Americans, some consensus that actually that is what we want. We want our police officers to show up, enforce laws, reasonably treat people respectfully, and we should try and de-escalate things the best that they can. But when they're in danger, or when other people are in danger, that they're going to take action. And we don't just stand back and we don't just watch mass looting and mass rioting and say that it's okay.
Yeah, and one of the things with the Chicago that they, in the PIO realm, that they're talking a lot about is that they're kind of tying the riots back to that. After the shooting, there was a lot of social media rumors that the police department had shot an unarmed juvenile. And so, you know, as PIOs, how do you, you know, it's really important to control rumors. And the best way to control rumors is put the truth out there. Right. Is to be as transparent as possible with your community. And you have to, you know, do that on the front end before things like that happen. So that when you do it, when things like that happen, they believe you. And you've built that relationship. But it was a really, Chicago, that whole incident was really interesting. And the way that, yeah, they did just destroy those businesses and truckloads of people showed up.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to have a meaningful discussion, which means at some point we have to turn off social media to have it. Ironic, because we're on social media right now.
We're telling you to watch us on social media.
But, you know, we have to have a conversation. What is the goal? You know, what do we want you, Chief, to achieve with your department? And from there, we can have that debate. But once we settle on what that is, okay, now what's the vehicles that we use to get there? But instead, we're starting from the bottom up. You know, so we're proposing all sorts of new legislation for this next spring session that we still don't know what the top thing is. What's the goal? But we've got all this new legislation. Here's how we're going to fix policing. Well, how is it going to fix policing when we don't even know what the goal of it is?
Yeah, where we're trying to go. Yeah, what's the destination?
It's very frustrating, and I was one that came up fairly early on the Floyd killing, and I did not like the tactics that I saw in the video. Of course, I'm not up there. I'm not doing the investigation. But what you could see on the video was not what we would want to see here in Farmington. And it is criminal. And he's been charged. But where are we now? And what is the goal? What am I supposed to be trying to get us to do as a police department? And then secondly, you know, we have to support chiefs. This kind of turnover, even the Tucson chief, who's actually a fairly popular chief, I've seen him a number of times, he offered his resignation up this spring for an in-custody death that they had. You know, if we're going to expect chiefs to accomplish meaningful police reform, that we actually are changing the way our officers' hearts and minds are operating when they come to work, you've got to give us clear direction on how to do it, and then you've got to support the chiefs when they're doing it. You know, or it is not going to get done, and we'll all be standing around wringing our hands, gee, why does this keep happening? Well, actually, it's pretty easy to predict why it's going to keep happening, because we don't have consistent leadership, we don't have a consistent goal, and we're not changing any of that, but we are getting political votes by coming out with new anti-police legislation, masquerading as reform. So there is my manic minute for the for the day, and now I'm getting the 1 minute finger from Scott. Scott, it's all professional in here, but I'll let you kind of bring us home.
Well, I don't really know what to say. You said it all. I feel like you were on your game today. You brought it.
You know,
brought your list and everything.
Even here in New Mexico, we got Bosque Farms, Milan, Loving, Hatch, Taos, Edgewood, Corozozo, I think that's how you say it, and Truth or Consequences. All those police chiefs are either new or they're open positions here in New Mexico. So, you know, this is a topic we're going to keep talking about. We may start stretching these to two-hour discussions because we've got so much to say on this. But we appreciate you tuning in. Hope that you're thinking about some of these topics, because believe me, we are thinking about those at FPD. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk some more. Thank you.
Do Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.